Around age 9, I had created a belief system that I am nothing. I'll never amount to anything. And this is just how it's going to be for me for the rest of my life. See, I knew that some people live in these wonderful houses on a hill and have these great family that hug them, love them, and protect them. And some of us just lived in a project with an alcoholic mother like mine, and that's where you stay. And at age 9, I was the oldest. And I had 8 brothers and sisters, and my mother was pregnant at the time. And she would always leave us in the home several days at a time without coming home, checking on us, and feeding us. I remember often trying to open up huge cans of peas and eating block of cheese the government used to give us. My mother used to entertain a lot of different men. Every other night, they would bring her a bag of beer and a bag of liquor in our filthy apartment. And now we hear her singing and laughing. And when I didn't hear my mother's voice anymore, I knew it was going to be soon that I hear the footsteps walk towards our bedroom door. And at age 9, I would jump off the bed because we shared one bed, one bedroom, and I would stand in front of the door to protect my sisters and brothers, but in the event, it made me available to the men. So there was a lot of sexual assaults over and over again. I didn't understand why we were supposed to live like that, but I thought it was the norm. And apparently somebody in the community thought whatever was going on in that apartment was wrong because we were always looking outside the window, but we were never allowed to come outside and play. And when we were seen outside, we were filthy. So they called the Department of Social Services, who sent in a social worker. And when the social worker walked into the apartment and seen the filthy conditions we were living in, she immediately removed us from the household. And as you good folks know this evening, there's not one family sitting around waiting to foster 9 kids. So we were separated and we were put into different foster care homes, and I was devastated. You see, it was my sisters and brothers that gave me the only reason I had to laugh out loud. The only joy I had was to take care of them. And after being in foster care for a couple of months, we were sent to court only for 9 family members stand up to choose each one of us. I'll take the older one. I'll take that one. Half of them didn't even know our names. And we were sent out into 9 family member home. Around age 14, I started to feel a little better and a little safer. And I was being fed. And someone showed me how to wash myself. And I was sent to school. And I heard someone call me walking up the walkway, "Neen." Because that's what my mother calls me. And when I looked out the window, I seen her walking up, and I ran downstairs. And when she walked through the door, she hugged me. She said, "I love you. I want to take you home with me." To that point in my life, I have never heard my mother tell me she loved me. I didn't hesitate. I went upstairs. I packed my things. And off into the sunset, I went with my mother. Well, by then, she had 3 more kids. I realized she didn't want me back because she loved me. She needed a babysitter. So I didn't know how I was going to live with her. I knew I couldn't. So I took an overdose, and I woke up in the emergency room, and no one asked why or what happened to me. And my mother, not knowing what to do with me from that point, she sent me off to live with her sister, my Aunt Curl, only so she can still have some control over my life. And after she drinking with a friend of hers one night, my name came up, and he said he thought I was cute and wouldn't mind making me his wife. See, my mother had been evicted again, and she needed a place to live. And he told her, "If you get your daughter to marry me, you can move in, and you'll have a place to live." I didn't even have to go to the courthouse because I was a minor for my mother to sign the marriage certificate for me to marry him. It was an opportunity to make her proud of me. And maybe in all of that, maybe she'll develop some love for me. And I married him, and I moved into his house. My mother moved in with my 3 little sisters, and as you can imagine, I was soon pregnant. My husband said I could not continue to go to school because I was a wife and a mother now. But when I would see his truck come up to the window, I would stand there in total fear because I knew when he walked through the doors and he put his finger across the furniture, if it was dust on his finger, he was going to beat me until he seen blood because he wanted to know what was I doing all day long to get could not dust his house. So there were many beatings because I couldn't dust his house. So finally somebody came to me around age 19 and said, "Try this." It was crack cocaine. It was the answer to all of my problems. See, I never had to feel anything again. I could just numb out, and it confirmed my belief system. I'm nothing. But unfortunately for me, it introduced me to the criminal justice system and the mental health institutions. Over the next 19 years, I lived underneath a bridge in the city of Annapolis. Yes, the same bridge that the governor had to go over to get to his mansion. I lived underneath there. They told me I was going to spend the rest of my life going in and out of prison while I was going to die in the streets. Nobody had hope for me. As a result of rapes and prostitution, I was having children, unable to house them or give them anything. The Department of Social Services was taking them as I was giving birth to them. I found myself in prison again, pregnant. And I was terrified I was about to lose another baby, and I didn't know how I was going to live through losing a baby. And they told me about this program that they said it helps you with your trauma. I didn't know what trauma was, but I figured I had everything else. My addiction, my mental health, and my recovery. I had 19 years of substance abuse, 19 years of living underneath a bridge. I was so filthy, people would look down at me and shake their head in disgust. No one would allow me to come into their house. I ate out of a trash can for 19 years. And now I'm in prison pregnant, and I'm terrified I'm going to lose my daughter, and I don't want to do that. And they told me about this program that would help me to deal with what happened to me. And when I walked through the doors at Tamar Children, somebody said, "I am so glad you're here." Nobody has ever said that to me. And my therapist said, "With everything that happened to you as a child happened to you, you didn't do to yourself." And she started to work on my trauma. The fact that my mother didn't love me, the neglect and abandonment. I've been raped and beat so many times I can't even count it. And we start, and losing my four kids, and we start to work on the thing. See, people over the 19 years tried to give me tools to live, to survive. And it will only get surfaced. I had so much pain, so much trauma, packed so tightly down that none of the good information can penetrate in it. It had to get rooted so I can build a foundation so my belief system can change from I am nothing to I am somebody and I can be anything I want in this world. See, when my belief system changed, my thought process changed. And I started to make the best decisions in my life. And one of the best decisions I made was to go through a one-year course into how to be a mother. See, I knew how to give birth. That was easy enough. But sometimes when you come from an abusive household, it takes work not to be abusive. And I didn't want to be abusive. So I remember when I finished the program and I had my daughter, they gave me a housing grant. I have never had my own apartment. And I moved into this little apartment with my daughter, and they sent out a caseworker every week to help me to create a budget. And they would tell me all the things I needed to do to be successful in my apartment. Once they came to me one day and said, "You need to pay BG&E. I said, "BG? I thought it was a drug deal I owned. I didn't know anything about BG&E. And they helped me to develop that. And out of all of that, I was able to have the courage to seek home ownership. I needed to know how to be independent and how to take care of my daughter and how to maintain a home. And I remember when I partnered with the Habitat for Humanity and when they took me to see my lot. Now, mind you, they took me in the daytime. And it was some couple, nice elderly people out drinking their coffee during the day. Now, when it turned into night, that was a whole different subject. But I remember when I seen the lot, and they said, "This is going to be your lot." And I walked in. I seen when they laid the foundation. Every Saturday, I was on site helping to build my own home. And when they laid the foundation, and I remember hammering the frame together to frame this house. And when the walls went up, and when they said, "Here's your keys, you're a homeowner." And I ran up the steps, and the first thing I wanted to do was to create a beautiful room for my daughter. I wanted to do that. So I got a friend. She's a very good friend, too, because it wasn't no gas and electric at the time. It was very cold. And I ran up the steps, and we had our little lamps, and we were painting my daughter's room. I don't know why the hell I didn't wait till the heat come on to do this. But we had the lights, and we lined up, and we turned her room to something you would see in a fairy tale. We turned into this beautiful, beautiful room that she can wake up and look at every day. Mind you, my daughter don't spend 1 minute in that room right now. She's always in my room. But as I started to bring my house together and I did the living room and my kitchen and my bedroom, and I start to see this house become a home. And I realized not only was I providing shelter for my daughter, but I was breaking the intergenerational curse in my family. See, my great-grandparents lived in the projects. Nobody has ever owned their own property. My daughter doesn't know what it's like to live in a project. She doesn't know what it's like to wait for somebody to hustle, to feed her. She doesn't know what it's like not to be hugged and loved. Giving my daughter the opportunity to know what home ownership means broke that intergenerational curse in my family. If it's true that we're learned by our environment, won't her children be given the same thing she was given? Everything that I do today is to better her life for tomorrow. I am a homeowner. So, yes, I am living that American dream. I'm in debt. Thank you.